It's now my pleasure to call on Brother Jamie to deliver the words of exhortation.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters, young people. As with our brother Paul last week, I seem to have gotten a cold as well. So if I seem to be a little lower voiced, it's not that I'm trying to be stern. As always, before preparing for an exhortation, I usually have a very restless sleep. Always wondering, waking up from time to time, what can I add, what can I take away to make it better? And last night, in the middle of the night, something came to me, and I'm not trying to say that it was through a dream because I was absolutely wide awake. God does not need me. Plain and simple. God does not need me. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. How many people here have had their heart broken? Don't be shy. And not just by a boyfriend or a girlfriend, husband or wife, by a friend, by a family member, a parent, child, anyone. Numbers grew a little bit there. How many people have been lied to? How many here have been stolen from, conned, ripped off? This is the time of year where it happens quite a bit. This is where gyms make all their money. New Year's resolutions, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to go get that gym membership. You usually have to pay for a year membership. The average person goes no longer than 6 weeks. The gyms count on that. That's how they make their money. And I very seriously doubt that if every person that has a membership to Planet Fitness or Curves showed up at the same time to work out, that those buildings could accommodate. It's not reasonable. Nor would they have enough equipment for everyone to use at the same time. It's this time of year that garages are advertising a free 20-point winter inspection with your oil change. It's not free, because they're going to find something wrong with your car that is imperative it is repaired now. Restaurants, would you like to supersize that? Do you like cheese on your burger? Would you like gravy for your fries? Because you don't know what you want until I tell you. Or as they say, suggest. Insurance. We have to have it on our car. Have to have it on our homes. It's to protect you. It's to make sure that you're safe. You're taken care of in case something happens. Until it's time to make a claim. Investments. We pay people to make our money grow. But what happens when we get bad advice and we lose on our investments? Nothing. It was a gamble. The investor still gets paid for making a transaction. Does not make as much because there was no profit. But money is still made. That's why in our reading in Psalms 10. It's what it talks about. What's in man's heart? He sits lurking in places of the villages and secret places. He murders the innocent, his eyes secretly fixed on the helpless. These are the sons of man. Older people get conned and stolen from the most because they are easy prey. Next is the poor, because the poor so desperately want to get ahead that they'll listen to what man has to say. Now, today we have to have insurance, and investments are not a bad idea. Mechanic, you more or less need to have one, as same as a plumber, electrician, and so forth. And, well, relationships are very nice to have as well. But we have to be prepared to lose everything if this is where we put our trust. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Every person here who has had their heart broken, been stolen from, been conned, been lied to, it was done to you by man. Think for a moment. When has God ever lied to you? When has God broken your heart? When has he stole from you? Misled you. So why then do we keep getting pulled away from him? Well, because we're human. We're going to fail. We are going to sin. That's why God gave his son to cover our sins. This does not mean that God accepts sin, but he knows it will happen. A sin can be put away. It can be stopped. It can be overcome. It's what drives us to sin. What is in our hearts? Is it evil intent or is it weakness? I don't think Samson had evil intent, but he sure had a weakness for pretty girls. Delilah, she had evil intent. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it then be seasoned? It shall then be good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Genesis chapter 19. Verse 26. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The city was corrupt. Bad things were happening, even to her family. But that's where her heart was. And she became a pillar of salt to be trampled on by men. That was what was in her heart. I will gain if I do this horrible thing. If I lie, cheat, steal, I will get ahead. And there are those that push for that. As we read in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, they're backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. How many times have you seen the ads for a class action lawsuit? There's one that says, even if this has not happened to you, but a family member, you may be entitled to a settlement. Even if it hasn't happened to you. That's because the people, the lawyers, want people to make claims so that they themselves can get paid. The court system put forth by God was right and true. But as with all things, as soon as man can, he corrupts God's ways. It became for profit. It became for personal gain, for revenge. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first command of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, love the Lord our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. I feel that this scribe / lawyer knew that if man followed these commandments, there would be no need for sacrifice, for retribution, for going to court, for suing one another. For if these commands are actually followed, it would truly eliminate sin. I feel he was frustrated by the pettiness that had become of the courts. And Jesus' response to him in verse 34, now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far. Jesus called the apostles because they were not far off. Their hearts were not evil. Did they sin? Yes, of course they sinned. But their hearts were not full of evil intent. Now, I do not mean to seem as though I'm okay with sin if it's done out of weakness, because I'm not. But it's the driving force to sin that makes a difference. And if we are not careful, if we do not try to overcome weakness, it can turn to evil intent in our heart. Judas, his weakness for money turned him to an evil intent. David's weakness for a woman turned him to murder. David was able to overcome that evil intent, and he paid a price and he rebounded. Judas, his trust in man overcame his trust in God, but soon his trust in man failed as well, to the point that even his trust in himself lacked, and he killed himself. No rebound, no recovery, just a broken heart and a broken mind. Not from God, but from man. Well, personally, I don't have a problem with someone having the finer things in life. If you work hard and honestly and can attain the things that you like, have at her. But if you are willing to get there by compromising what God wants, to steal, to cheat, maybe even not go that far, maybe perhaps just a little shady deal, maybe a little inside information, are you willing to put away God's ways just for a moment to get just that little bit ahead? I know I have to ask myself that. Are we going to allow a weakness to turn into evil intent or corruption or immorality? Are we, who have been called to be the sons and daughters of God, going to be lured away by the sons and daughters of man? As what happened in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God, being the sons of Adam and Seth, saw the daughters of man, being the descendants of Cain, and they followed man's ways without God. And we all know what the outcome of that was. And religion in the past number of years has been widely attacked, being accused of being biased, being too judgmental. Statements like, "Who does the church think that they are to tell you what to do with your life and how to live it?" But is that not what these people are doing? Telling people not to change, but to make religion change? Once again, history is repeating itself. The sons of God are allowing the sons of men to corrupt God's ways, to bring other gods in, other values, beliefs, saying it is a better way. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. To save lives, not to destroy them. We all know these things, so why am I saying them? Because we forget very quickly, don't we? I don't know how many times anyone here has heard a teenage girl crying because her boyfriend broke her heart, and that her life is over. She can't go on. Usually, within 3 days, they're back together and she's happy again because he said, "I'm sorry, I will change." Now that's nuts. Doesn't just happen with teenage girls. It happens with all of us, no matter what age. Our hearts get broken. We feel devastated. We allow someone to say, "I'm sorry, I'll change," even though we know they won't. The serpent was more cunning than any other beast of the field. Unfortunately, that serpent was more believable than God. Genesis 4, verses 6 and 7. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." God talked to Cain to calm him down, to warn him about sin. But sin won, and sin multiplied. Chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. Then Lamech said to his wives, "Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold." Men took pride in their sin. It was a badge of honor. And that still is today, isn't it? If someone tells you, don't say anything to that guy over in the corner because he's in a biker gang. Don't say anything to the janitor at work because he just got out of prison. If we hear that someone is a violent, negative person, they actually do have a certain status. People are afraid of them. They stay away. They let them do what they want. That's what man has done. The subtle, sneaky, convincing, and full of promise. And time again has proven to be full of lies and falsehoods. We too, when we try to put away sin, after a few days, we forgive. And we again either seek it out or allow ourselves to be found by it. Sin brings forth suffering, and seeking God brings forth salvation. Now we're about to partake of this bread and wine, our Lord's body and blood, given for the remission of our sins, because we cannot follow the two great commands. We are asked to examine ourselves beforehand, not to admit in our minds what sins we have committed this last week, but to examine our hearts for its intent. Psalm 7, 3-5. O Lord God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. If I have intentionally done this, I am guilty. We have to examine to see if our hearts are pure or not, if we are weak, or has our weakness led us to more. We don't have too many chances left to get it right. We were called because we're not far off. Have we gotten closer? Again, Luke 9:56. Lord Jesus came into this world to save lives, not to ruin them. To follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to follow in God's ways, it's not a burden. It's a blessing. And what I'm finally starting to find in my life is that it is actually easier to please God than it is to please man. Trying our best to follow God is all he asks of us. But trying our best is not always good enough for man. Someone once told me, what you are asking for is totally unreasonable, and you have to be aware of that. That's true. Man expects unreasonable things from each other for personal gains, without care for others. But that is not true of God. Again, in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Jumping down to verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is angry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Mark chapter 12. Verse 32. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all your heart, and with all understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. We are not far from the kingdom of God, but we need to continue forward in our journey towards it, not being pulled away by the subtleties of this world, by the promises that we know are never fulfilled. There's only one promise that has been fulfilled. That is that our Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, that ours might be saved.